to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Excellent. Right, hello and welcome to Shoot the Defence, brought to you by the FNX Network, My Sportswear and the Offside Trust. I'm your host, Stel. This is Jan, and we're joined by three guests this evening. Rodri Giggs, Mark Meredith and Matthew Crist. Gents, how are you doing? Rodri, first, how's things, mate?
Yeah, all good, mate. Nice holiday. Back now and, yeah, I'm all good.
Are your batteries fully charged now?
Yeah, fully charged, yeah.
When you're done with this. You're going to need another holiday when we're done with this show.
Yeah.
Mark, welcome back, mate. How's things?
Yeah, all good, thanks. Busy period for me, Stel. New house, new baby, and coaching as well. So trying to get through the next couple of weeks alive, I think.
New house, new baby, new underwear, new everything.
Yeah, for sure. Trying to.
No new swimming pool, though.
Not yet. It's on the mend. It's on the mend.
He's getting the shovel. He's getting ready. And welcome back, Matthew. Great to have you back, mate. How's things?
Yeah, good. Good to be back. Thanks. Been a long time, I think. Long time no see.
It has been. No news is good news, though, right?
Yeah. I can't complain.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, guys, you know, they say a week is a long time in football. We've been away for two. And there's plenty of discuss. So without any further ado, let's get to it. Let's talk about Ajax 0 Man United 2. So Man United added the final piece of their club trophy puzzle by winning the Europa League, once known as the UEFA Cup, beating Ajax 2-0, which secured their place in next season's Champions League. Goals from two of Mourinho's signings, Pogba and Mkhitaryan, earned United their second, not third, trophy of the season. Rodri, I seem to remember, before the quarterfinal stage of the competition, we all agreed that the remaining sides were banana skins for United more than anything else. They didn't make it easy for themselves up until the final, though. But that was probably United's most convincing win in the tournament since beating final 4-0. Were you surprised with how easy it was for United?
A little bit, but not that much. It was a one-off game that they couldn't really lose. And you know what, with Jose Mourinho's record, with one-off games, especially a big game that they needed to win, it was always going to be a United win for me. And with the experience and the players they had, and with Ajax's team being so young, yeah, it wasn't the prettiest game, but it was all about the win, and that's what Mourinho does.
Absolutely. Mate, I remember saying the only way United would beat Ajax was by basically just bullying them, which is pretty much what they did.
Yeah.
Which player or players stood out for you?
I think the three boys in midfield. Fellaini, Herrera. Pogba had a really good game in the final as well.
Did you say Fellaini?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, Fellaini's been a revelation in the Europa League, to be fair.
I didn't get my tattoo, unfortunately.
Yeah. But still waiting for that, yeah.
Well, if he scores a goal in the final and it's a vital one, I'll do it. I'll do the same if age. Okay, Carol.
Yeah, I just thought Herrera as well. Herrera's been so important for United this season for the work, his quality and... You know, he sets the pace in midfield, Herrera, for me. And I thought he was outstanding in the final, as was Fellaini. It was a very professional performance by United. Everyone knew their job. It wasn't pretty to watch, but they had a job to do. They did it well. They notified Ajax, who I think had one chance in the 93rd minute where Romero went walkies and they nearly scored. Apart from that, I don't remember them having a chance. So it was convincing and got away with it, United, this season. So, happy outcome in the end.
Absolutely. Well, gents, Ajax head coach Peter Bos, who happens to be a Cruyff disciple and probably besties with Pep Guardiola, was quick to criticise United's tactics, saying that they made it a boring game. Does it actually matter? I mean, winning is the most important thing, no? Mark?
Yeah, I think so, Stan. I think you go out there to win the game and however you want to do it, so... you know, there's a game plan there and they come home with the trophy. I think it's just a bit of sour grapes from the Ajax coach. If it had gone the other way, there wouldn't have been anything said.
Absolutely. And Mark, how many... What? Oh, what are you talking to me?
No, yeah.
You know who's this? You know who's this? You're on. Go on, you choose who's next. Come on.
I was going to say Matthew.
Matthew, come on.
Matthew, what do you think?
Thanks, mate. Well, I think He's probably got a point. I mean, the game was a bit of a sticker, but let's face it, watching it, who really cares? If you watch a final, you basically want somebody to win and somebody to lose. And anyone watching that game that wanted United to win, I don't think would have been disappointed in the performance. If you win a final and play well, it's a bonus. But how often does that happen? I don't know how many people remember watching the 1990 FA Cup final replay, but it was an absolute stinker, probably the worst final I've ever seen. But United won, and that kicked Alex Ferguson's United career on, and they went on to greater glory. So I can't see that anyone's really going to complain about the performance. And like Rodri says, that's what Mourinho does. I think we're going to have to put up with that. If he's going to be there for any period of time and win trophies, he's probably going to do it that way. So I don't think there'll be too many people complaining about the way United played. I think they were very, very effective. And like you said earlier, probably their most convincing win in the tournament.
Mm. You mentioned boring cup finals, the United-Liverpool one where Eric scored in the last...
Yeah.
That was dire.
They like Liverpool suits, to be fair.
You're right. Liverpool suits were the most entertaining thing about it. Actually, no, to be fair, from a United perspective, I think that was Ian Rush's last ever touch in a Liverpool shirt. It kind of deflected in, didn't it? But we're not going to go into that because we're going to...
The Champions League game, 99 wasn't the best of games. We got battered for
20
minutes.
That's right. That's right. Just spun in its head in the last 4 minutes or something like that. Right. Incidentally, Boss has been named the new Dortmund manager, which is another club that thinks playing good football is more important than winning. So good luck with that, mate. Matthew, Jose Mourinho became the first United manager to win silverware in his debut season at the club. What do you make of his first season?
Well, you say the first manager to win silverware in his first season. Didn't David Moyes win the Community Shield in his first season at United?
Is that a trophy?
I just had to put that one in. I totally agree. Well, I think you can't argue with winning two trophies in your first season. I mean, having grown up watching United in the 80s and 90s, I think if somebody had said you're going to win two trophies in a season, you'd be absolutely delighted. But I just think there's so much emphasis on the league campaign these days that maybe the way they finished so poorly in the league, people will look at it as a slightly disappointing season. But he kind of saved his bacon with the two trophies, and particularly the final one that secured Champions League qualification. But I just think the amount of money that has been spent on that club and the amount of talent that's in that team, I think if somebody had said at the beginning of the season they'd finish fifth and so far off top spot in a league that really didn't boast a huge amount of good teams. I mean, we all thought City went off like a greyhound and won the first 10 games and everyone thought they were going to dominate. Chelsea, to be fair, were fantastic, but there wasn't a huge amount of great football on display, I don't think, last season. So I think for United to finish fifth was pretty disappointing. But like I say, you can't argue with two trophies, particularly a European one, and particularly one that United have wanted for quite some time.
So the thing is, it's like Mourinho's damned if he doesn't, damned if he doesn't. I mean, if he didn't win the Europa League, people would have been saying, oh, well, he spent so much money, he should have done a lot better. But then he wins it and people say, well, he should have won it. Let's put things into perspective. He signed four players. Ibrahimovic didn't play in the final. Baye didn't play in the final. So all we had was Mkhitaryan and Pogba who scored the winning goals. And he won the Europa League with Blind, Smalling and Damian at the back. I mean, that's an achievement in itself. Give him a medal. Give him a knighthood or something. Let's be honest. You know, but you know, let's be, all jokes aside, it was a tricky season. You can see how mentally drained he was at the end. You know, he says, I don't want to talk about football. And I can kind of see where he comes from, because even doing the show can be stressful sometimes, especially watching football and seeing other teams do better than your own. But what can you expect from United this season?
Next season?
No, this season coming or next season?
I think the emphasis is on him. The emphasis is on him to do something now. He got out of jail a bit with that win in Europe, but like you say, his money, he's going to need to improve next season. I don't think you could finish fifth next season and that still be acceptable, to be honest.
Mm. Well, things, he told BT Sports that he's given Woodward the list of players he needs. I mean, if he's able to tick off every name on his wish list, can we expect United to mount a serious charge or even go for the Champions League, dare I say it?
I think so. I wonder how much I mean, the last three or four seasons, United have just been buying, signing players. I think there needs to be an emphasis on bonding players to play as a team, but to play behind a manager. You can sign as many players as you like, but as we've seen in the past, it doesn't always work with Falcao, Di Maria. There's a huge list of players. I don't think, obviously, they need a few key signings. I think they need a couple of defenders and a goal scorer, but I don't think it's just about going out there spending money on 6, 7, 8 new players, because then we're going to have another couple of years with everyone saying, oh, well, they haven't bedded in and they need time to adapt and all that kind of thing. So I think he's got to get people playing for him and an ethos in that team of playing for Manchester United rather than just going out with a scattergun approach on that list.
It's a fair point. Rodri, let's say Mourinho has 3 or 4 players. Let's say he has 4 players that he's earmarked. You know, I want these 4 players to bring in, and Woodward brings them in. He's going to get rid of a few as well, isn't he? I mean, I'm looking at Smalling, I'm looking at Jones, maybe Ashley Young, Wayne Rooney. Can you see more people leaving than coming in?
Is that me?
Yep.
I just think about it. Then he's not going to leave himself short. He's obviously, if he can get these 4 players he wants, and they're decent players, he obviously likes a set team, Reno. He likes to work with 15, 16 players, not 24 players like he's done in the past. So he's probably going to wean these players out, but he's obviously not going to leave himself short if he hasn't got the quality that he wants.
Yeah, there's been a lot of players that really excelled under Mourinho, like, you know, Rojo, Herrera, even Ashley Young stepped up. Mm-hmm. Can you see, you know, him making big changes? Is he going to bring in big names? What do you expect?
I expect big names in the summer, I do. I think there'll be a few that'll be gone. A left back, I think, he'll address that as well. Bring a left back, possibly 2 centre-halves. We don't know the situation with De Gea, if he's staying or going. If he goes, will he keep faith in Romero? Will he bring someone in? A goal scorer is a must. Even possibly even a number 10 as well. Maybe someone like a James Rodriguez from Real Madrid. Because of the season that United have had this season, there's expectation now with United, especially with the Europa League. They've won the trophies and Mourinho's had his first season. Now at United, expectation is going to be big names, big signings. Let's go and do better things in the league. And I don't think United will win the Champions League, but at least challenge, because the quality in the Champions League, as we saw in the final, is just, it's a level above and United need to rise to that. So I do expect big changes at United. I really do.
Fair enough. Mark, what would you say to people who feel the Europa League is a tin pot trophy?
I think that's crazy, Stan. I think, you know, to play in Europe is a big thing anyway. And 5 years ago, I watched my club, Birmingham, play in it and had probably the time of our life going away to different countries and watching our team play. So, you know, there's clubs out there that really want to play in a competition like that. And the problem we have is because the Champions League is being seen as the biggest competition, just like the FA Cup. The Carling Cup and the Europa League gets overshadowed, but I think it's, you know, to win it is...
So Mark, cut off, mate.
Sorry, I said to win the competition is good in its own right, and I think, you know, for the teams that are in there, Man United were in there this year, and to win it is a good achievement, and then hopefully now they get into the Champions League and they go and prove that they're one of the bigger clubs again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, our friend Gunnar from Iceland says Mourinho is a Tony Pulis with a fat wallet. He's a Liverpool fan, so he's going to kind of expect that, but I don't know Tony Pulis ever winning a European trophy. But anyway, let's not go into that. Right, let's talk about the FA Cup final. And Jose's best mate, Arsene Wenger, guided Arsenal to their third FA Cup triumph in 4 years and celebrated this achievement by signing a 2-year contract extension.
Yeah. Arsenal fans are happy.
Absolutely. Now, as for the game, what was more entertaining than the Europa League final, I'm sure Peter Boss was sat on the edge of his seat for 90 minutes. He had everything you'd want in a cup final. Goals, a red card, controversy, pointless camera angles of managers patrolling their technical area. You name it, it had it. Arsenal took the lead in controversial fashion through Alexis Sanchez when referee Anthony Taylor overruled his assistant after he flagged Aaron Ramsey offside. Chelsea equalised through Diego Costa, but their watertight defence, or so we've been led to believe, was still celebrating when Aaron Ramsey was left unmarked to score the winner within a minute of the restart. Sorry, Mark. All jokes aside, Arsenal were the team who looked like they just won the title when Chelsea had ended fifth. That was a very focused and determined performance, wasn't it, from the Gooners?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we've seen that over the last couple of weeks of the season as well, Stal. You know, the last few weeks of talking on the show, we've said how Arsenal had really improved, bringing a new formation in and improved the team. So I think, you know, they went into it with a bit of confidence and they really played the game good. They had a good game plan and they went and beat the champions quite comfortably in my eyes.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. And Matthew, what was your initial reaction to Sanchez's goal and has your opinion changed?
Well, my first reaction to it was probably the same as everyone else's watching it and the Chelsea back four. I thought it was offside. And to be honest, I still think it's offside. I know it opens a whole can of worms. And by the letter of the law, he wasn't offside. But I think in a case like that, the law is a bit of an ass, really. I just wonder how far you can go with an attacking player roaming around in the 6-yard box effectively and then claiming that he wasn't interfering with play. I mean, of course he's interfering with play. Yes, they probably got it right. He didn't touch the ball and that's the law. But I think you could have a situation where you've got three or four players just almost dancing around in front of the keeper to distract him while one of their colleagues runs into the box and puts the ball in the back of the net. I'm not quite sure how you can fix it. I suppose you'd have to go back to the old days of just if you're offside, you're offside. But I think that goal was pretty much as close as you can get to being offside without touching the ball, purely because he was so involved in the play. But I'm not taking it away from him or Arsenal. It's not. I've got nothing against. Like I say, they completely played to the letter of the law, but it just seems a little bit controversial to say the least. I think.
Mm-hmm. This guy's looking at me because you think I'm going to mention video technology, aren't you?
No.
I'm not. I'm not even going to go there with you.
Oh, yeah.
This ain't a can of worms. It's going to be a can of kidney beans with you. I know you.
I was just going to say first reaction was handball.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. You can say
that. I mean, the goal for me is legit because I think it was Ramsey. He didn't touch the ball. Sanchez got in and scored. So the goal in the new rules is a goal. But first reaction is handball. For me,
putting his arms up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two hands.
Fair enough.
And video refereeing wouldn't have changed that because they'd have looked at it and they'd have seen that he didn't do anything wrong. So it would have been given a goal. I'm just playing devil's advocate slightly for Chelsea because I just think it was a little bit, you know, I just wonder how far you can go with the interfering with play situation. But that's a conversation for another show, eh?
As long as it's not video technology, we're fine.
Well, that was last time, wasn't it?
Dragged off for ages, isn't it? About 3-week discussion, we're still talking about it. Right, mate, Per Mertesacker, he put in this performance that hardly anyone thought that he could. I mean, it was just absolutely fantastic, wasn't he? Just sprang his body, everything.
It was. He showed his experience for me in the final. He showed the know-how of a big game, especially for someone that hasn't played for how long.
Just was that his first 90 minutes of the season?
Yeah.
Mad.
He's been injured, hasn't he? For him to come in a game like that, especially with Costa and Hazard and the pace that Chelsea encountered up front, and let's face it, Mertesacker is slow. But like I said, he used his experience and his know-how, and he was outstanding. Mm. Arsenal don't need to buy a centre-half now. I've got Mertesacker.
Stop it. Stop it. You're going to have people sending us death threats. What's wrong with you? Rod, has winning the FA Cup papered over the cracks, mate? I mean, Arsenal obviously need major investment in the summer, but who's out there? Who can they get?
Well, it's not papered over the cracks. I think that we all know that they need a few players, but it's the type of players they need, the type of characters they need. Not necessarily quality players, but obviously quality players, but players with a bit of steel, players that are not going to fold over when you know, players that are not going to get bullied, that we've seen in the past with Arsenal players. They need to bring them type of character players, or they're just going to be Groundhog Day again come January every year. They need to bring in the right kind of people into Arsenal. The type of the mentality that Sanchez has got.
They started, haven't they? This Kolasinac, didn't they? From Schalke, left back. So they've started early this
year. So what, is he going to play left wing back? Is he going to play left back? I mean, that must spell the end for Kieran Gibbs.
I think so. Left wing back.
Yeah.
If he stays with the three at the back, then yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Right, so Arsenal's fifth place finish means they won't be competing in the Champions League for the first time in 21 years, although I doubt anyone other than Bayern Munich will really miss them. Speaking of the Champions League, Real Madrid won European Cup number 12 in Cardiff after a 4-1 win over Juventus. Matthew, it took a bit of a while for Real Madrid to get going, mate. I mean, first half they were pretty average, but they came off for the second half with all guns blazing. I mean, that was the best half of football I've seen from a team all season. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think that's exactly what Real Madrid, and that's what Real Madrid do, and they do it so well that they're almost like a cat playing with a mouse before they go in for the kill. You know, they don't come out guns blazing all the time, especially in a game like this. They might do in a league game against lesser opposition, but in a game like this, they tend to let the opposition have the ball and almost run themselves into the ground. It reminded me of almost a rope-a-dope fight, like the Rumble in the Jungle with Ali and Foreman. It was almost like they let Juventus tire themselves out, and then they thought, right, we've got the armoury now to put them to the sword, which is exactly what they did. They can't win every game 4-5-0. I mean, I know they won 4-1 ultimately, but they obviously knew they were up against a quality team, and they thought they would let them probably exhaust themselves slightly, which they did in that first half. And then obviously Juventus had little to offer in the second half, whereas Madrid were pretty fresh and could really put them to bed.
And they did. Mate, we thought Juve would nick it 1-0, maybe a 2-1. And Mandzukic scored the goal of his life, but that was about it. This wasn't the Juve we expected, was it?
No, it wasn't. I was very disappointed in Juventus. I mean, first half, they played really well.
The first 20 minutes, yeah, even when they went a goal down,
yeah,
they were the better team.
They showed spirit, they came back, they got the equaliser. You thought they'll push on. I don't know what happened to them second half. I don't know if it was nerves. Could you say it was nerves? Because they played well in the first half. Possibly not. Real Madrid stepped it up. Was it the golfing quality that undone them in the end? Quite possibly. But for me, the big players, Dybala, Higuain, what a disappointment they were on the night. And even at the back, you know, Juventus have got this, you know, this real kind of tightness defensively. They look the shambles. That wasn't the Juventus that we've known and kind of loved all season. And very disappointed for them, to be honest.
The thing is, as a collective, defensively, Juventus are outstanding. They've been fantastic throughout the season.
Yeah.
I mean, watching the way that they lined up, when they were off the ball, they'd have a 4-4-2. So ultimately, they'd have Bonucci at right back and then Dani Alves at right wing.
Hmm.
When they were on the ball, they played the 3-4-2-1.
Yeah.
It suited them in the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, because just like, you know, a boxing match, they're feeling each other out. But then it was weird, because the moment Mandzukic equalised, it's almost as if Juventus took their foot off the gas. And then second half, Real Madrid just came out. They're like, you know, they were 2 yards quicker. They were passing the ball fast. I mean, Isco and Modric were outstanding. Okay. To be honest, I can't pick out one individual player, because in that second half, from 1 to 11, Real Madrid are outstanding. Ronaldo was brilliant. Modric's movement. Toni Kroos, I think he had like a 94% pass accuracy. It's phenomenal. I think he's the best passer of the ball in the world.
I agree.
For me.
For me, Carvajal was probably the best player on the pitch.
Carvajal, you reckon?
Yeah, I thought he was outstanding at right back.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought he was.
That's fair.
Him and Isco, for me, were the stand-ups.
Well, put it this way, Mandzukic didn't bully him.
No.
Didn't bully him at all. And I thought that, you know, he'd be making those diagonal runs like he normally does, but he read him Marcelo, right there, left back was fantastic. So, yeah, I think it was brilliant. Now, you know, where Mandzukic was able to find the net, Gonzalo Higuain felt miserably, as you said. I mean, the Argentinian striker is yet to score in a major final. He's played in 7. That's the Copa del Rey, two Copa Americas, the World Cup, the Champions League, and the Copa Italia.
Yep.
This will lead us on to our bite back question, which is Higuain the biggest big game bottler? I mean, we've had mixed reactions from the Shoot the Defence and Sofa Sports News group pages. I'm going to go with the Shoot the Defence one first. And Ben Bonnell says, how about the entire AC Milan team for losing it to Liverpool in the Champions League final? That's not a bad shout, to be fair.
He says more of a collective thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about Higuain.
Yeah, he said Buffon for losing a hat-trick of Champions League finals. I'm not sure how the goalkeeper. Francesco says that's not what we bought him for. Obviously, he's a Juventus fan, but he says it was one of the many Champions League letdowns. Mike says Arsenal. He says UEFA Cup final, Champions League final, FA Cup final versus Liverpool, Birmingham in the League Cup final, which Mark was
I can see him smiling.
He upset me a little bit there. That's how you...
I'm sure he didn't mean it. Fosh is the Argentina national team. And Dan DeLuca says, Higuain is the biggest serial bottler. Palermo missing 3 penalties in 1 game has to be the biggest instance of bottling. Yeah. Kevin Keegan bottling in Newcastle 96. And he says, there are plenty of brilliant players who want almost everything but never produce that moment to put the cherry on the cake. Thierry Henry and Roberto Baggio on the list. Now, the guys over at Southern Sport News, I think I must have struck a nerve when it came to Higuain, because a lot of them were very vociferous. Say this, defensive. Yeah, it's almost as if I've got personal with him. Luke said, I think it's stupid to call him a bottler. Simply just hasn't had the best of games in those finals. Nothing to suggest he's psychologically weak or anything. Well, seven finals, he hasn't scored the goal in that one-on-one against Germany. Germany says otherwise.
Put it wide, didn't it?
There you go. Harry says, harsh to blame those teams' failures solely on Higuain. He's a top striker. Oh, he's a top striker, but he didn't do it. Rob Palmer says, it's hard, but I have to agree. It's not just the fact he hasn't scored in those games. He has underperformed as well. And it's not as if Higuain is a striker that offers tons more goals. He's a poacher. So yeah, the guys at Social News, thanks guys for your input. Thanks guys on Shoot the Defence. Matthew, Rod, what do you make of Higuain? Is he the biggest big game bottler in the world?
Well, I don't know, based on...
No, not for me.
Go on, Rod, you go first.
You've got to get the service, and I just don't think he got the service on... The Juventus were poor. I like Higuain. He's a decent player, so no, not for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a bit harsh to blame anyone individually for these things. It's just, it's happened. If you look through history, you're always going to get players that end up on the losing team. One name that you didn't mention that I was going to drop in the conversation that our friend in Iceland might appreciate was Jurgen Klopp. I mean, hasn't he? five cup finals or something like that.
Yeah. But they'll argue he won the Bundesliga and then came 14th the next season or something like that. Isn't it? Anyway, it's not a Liverpool bashing show. It's good as fool. I mean, he started. He started. But yeah, you do have a point, Matthew. I agree. Gents, does Allegri need to rebuild then? Because I mean, looking at the back line, it's on the wrong side of 30. Pjanic and Khedira look totally off the pace on Saturday. Can you see Juventus spending big, and will they take it to the next level next season? Rod?
How many goals did they concede in the Champions League before the final? Two?
Two.
I just don't think there's no need to panic. You know, they're playing the best club team in the world, with Real Madrid, who could do that to anyone. I just don't think there's no need to panic. They've got a half-decent squad. I don't think they need to panic. They won the league by a canter, and they got into the Champions League final. So they'll probably add a couple of players, but not too many wholesale changes. Like I say, they didn't do too bad, only conceding two goals.
They won Coppa Italia as well, didn't they? So they were going for the treble again. Missed out.
Mark, what do you reckon? Do they need to make any changes, or are they happy as hell? Should they stick or twist?
I think I'm with Rodney on it. You know, they played one of the best teams in the world right there, so you can't really judge it on that. Let's judge it on what they do in the Serie A and obviously what they've done in the rest of the tournaments. And I think, you know, a couple of players just to add a little bit of new blood, but apart from that, they'll be fine.
Matthew, what side of the fence are you on?
No, I'm with the lads. I think there's no need to panic, or no need to panic, to pardon the pun.
Very good.
I think, obviously, if you've got a back four that's ageing, you've always got to look to replace them. Any good team always has. But like the guy said, they've won the league, won the cup, and they played against the best team there is probably in the world. So you don't want to base a defeat to Real Madrid on wholesale changes, because there's just no need. I think sometimes you just have to accept you're beaten by the better team. And I dare say they've got a few players on their radar anyway, because obviously as a team ages and develops, they will have to make natural changes. But like we said, like Rodri said, to let in two goals in the Champions League, I mean, that's got to be some kind of record. So I would concentrate on that and not the final, because that wasn't the story of the season for me.
Yeah, that's a fair point. The thing is, with Serie A, because it's so... I mean, there's so much instability. One minute, they're going to bring in a new manager and then he's out of the door within 4 days and they bring in someone else. So you can't really... I mean, Juventus don't really have a consistent challenger. It's either going to be Napoli or Roma, Milan or Inter, this and that. There's never like... It's never like a two-horse race or a three-horse race kind of thing. So I think that they're a bit comfortable in that sense, where they can afford to go maybe another season with that back line and with Buffon in goal. Obviously, it's World Cup year next season, so he's gonna stay there for at least one more year. I think Donnarumma is going to be the next Juventus goalkeeper. He's like a...
Well, they're talking about Chesney, isn't it? 17 million.
But for how long is he going to be there? Do they even have a decent number two? Who's their number two?
Neto,
right. So
He's not.
Exactly. So I can't see Chesney being their number one.
Can I give you my opinion? I'm going to disagree with the guys.
Yeah?
I think they need to strengthen.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they've won the Italian League 6 years in a row.
Mm.
Then they've won the Italian Cup 3 years in a row. I think it's like a record in Italy or something like that.
Okay.
If they want to take the next step in the Champions League where it's winning it, they have to improve. It's too easy in Italy for me. So they need to buy better quality, maybe another striker.
Well, perhaps they will, because obviously Milan have got new owners. They're spending money already. They're talking about bringing in Morata.
Yes.
That's the first one. The left-back from Wolfsburg, Rodriguez, is on his way there.
Yeah.
So there's going to be that competition. Inter have got Spalletti as their new manager. Yeah. Possibly James Rodriguez is going there. So there's going to be more competition in Serie A next season. But again, it goes back to the whole thing of what I said about it being unstable. You're not going to have a manager there for more than 2 years unless he's a successful manager. I mean, look at Roma. How many managers they had in the past?
Right. Five managers.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Look at Inter. Change them every 3 months, don't
they? Yeah.
No, you've got to go back and think about it and think that, you know, they played Barcelona off the park twice in the semi-final. So they're not a bad outfit. They had one off game Real Madrid and one good half Real Madrid and wipe the floor, and that could happen. It's Real Madrid.
I agree with that, but that's two finals now with Barcelona and Real Madrid where they haven't turned up in the final. And for me, it's that extra bit of quality that matters that Juventus don't have. Where in Italy, they can get away with it because the quality in Italy is not as effective as it is in the Champions League, as you can see.
Hmm.
So that's why I think there may be one or two proper quality players away from taking the next step and winning it.
I think that's where we'll go and talk to later on the show, where the quality of players that Barcelona and Real Madrid have, other teams don't have. They have world-class players that will finish games with one chance, and other teams haven't got that. The Man United's, the Chelsea's. That's why they're not reaching the finals. These big teams are constantly reaching the finals because they have world-class players like Ronaldo, Bale, Suarez, Messi, Neymar. The English leagues don't have them type of players.
Mm. But I think also with English teams in the Champions League, the European, the winter break is always going to be a bonus to them. But also, if you notice, nations across Europe, they kind of rearrange fixtures to suit the teams.
They don't.
Arsenal, say, next season go on a run and they're in the semi-final of the Europa League and Wenger says, right, I need to switch a game from Sunday to Tuesday or Sunday to Monday, they'll go, oh, no. They'll probably say, nah, sorry, mate. You know, we've already got it booked with the TV. So, you know, what can you do? What can you do? Jamie Cannon in the chat says, guys, which players would you want to see in the Juventus shirt to get them over the hump? And who would actually go there in a one-horse league race? That's actually a good question, actually.
Alexis Sanchez could go to Juventus.
Yeah?
Why not? Played in Italy before. He'll play probably left wing ahead of Mandzukic, so... They buy like Higuain and Sanchez,
and that's the type of player. That's the type of player you're watching talking about. He's the type of player that could win your game, and that's the type of player Juventus need. But will he go there?
That's a good shot. I mean, John suggests Fabregas, but with Pjanic there, I don't think they'll need another player. He's younger, isn't he, than Fabregas? And
Pjanic is 25, I think.
25. Yeah. Fabregas is 30.
But he's not a massive favourite of Allegri. Fallen out a few times as well, so that's not a bad shot.
You know, because he probably doesn't work hard enough. Yeah. Doesn't work hard enough.
It's got to be of attitude.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What do you reckon, Matthew?
Yeah, well, I was going to suggest Sanchez as well. Obviously, there's some kind of doubt whether he's staying at Arsenal, whether he's going or staying, or whether he's staying in London. But I think he'll be a fantastic addition to that team. Like we say, there's no need for them to panic buy, but they obviously need to strengthen, as any good champions do. You don't rest on your laurels. You try and keep up your best team, and you try and improve that team. And I think he would be a fantastic addition if he wanted to go and play in the Italian league, which, you know, is it the draw it was 20, 30 years ago? But for the sake of this conversation, I would definitely put Sanchez on that shopping list.
You tend to find that teams that win trophies and, you know, win league titles and Champions League, whatever, they always refresh a little bit. I mean, Ferguson did it a lot. You know, United will win the title, he might get rid of one or two players and bring in a couple more just to keep that competition for places going. I wouldn't be surprised if Allegri does it. Again, they can, and to be fair, they can pretty much attract anyone, I think. Anyway, they're a big club. Yeah. They've got the money. They've got the fan base. I mean, I went to Cardiff for the final, and you know the whole place was full of Juventus. You'd have thought that there were more Juventus fans than Madrid fans. I think a lot of them went there without tickets, but they've got a massive fan base. They're global, and again, Italy's appalled. I mean, look at the weather; it's just appalled. I mean, obviously, Turin isn't great, this bloody mountains, but even still, it's Italy. It's the culture and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, they're still a big draw. What do you reckon, Mark? Can Juventus strengthen, and where should they strengthen?
I think, yeah, centre forward would be great. You know, Suarez is always going to be a name. Fernando Torres is a name that came out today that he's going to be looking to leave Spain. You know, he's another one who could be an ideal forward for them in that league. But I don't know. I think they're going to go out and buy a couple of players. It's difficult. I don't really follow the Italian league that much, to be honest. But, you know, they, like you say, they have got the money and they have got the fame to go and get one of the bigger players.
That's right. And Mark, going back to Real Madrid, and as I said before, 1-11, they were absolutely superb. I mean, Ronaldo, Isco and Modric got a lot of the attention for their performances, but we can't ignore the other contributions. I mean, Kroos and Marcelo in particular were superb, weren't they?
Yeah, I think, you know, second half, like we said earlier on in the conversation, first half they were quiet. They allowed Juventus to have the ball and play a little bit, and I agree with Matthew to tire them out. But second half, after they come out, I think, you know, you can't fault any of the 11 that were out there. I think it was a great team performance, and they went and got a great victory in the end.
That's right. And Rod, we can't not talk about Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, he didn't have the best of games, but still scored twice. Right place, right time. What a player.
Yeah, that's why he's world class, and he's got so many goals and so many accolades because he works so hard, and you know, and these players can be out of game, get one chance and end a game. So his movement, his finishing, it's just world class. And like I say, this is what teams need to win the massive trophies, and that's what Real Madrid have.
600 goals in his career. It's incredible. I mean,
it's frightening.
Thinking about United selling him for £80 million.
Peanuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he was a winger.
Yeah. He played up front the other day, 4-4-2. And
United, it was a winger.
He played up front. Yeah. So, he's one hell of a footballer.
Going back to Higuain, yeah, about bottling finals.
You love him.
I do. But look at Ronaldo. How many goals has he scored in finals?
Yeah.
You know, the contrast of a big game player.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. But the thing is, the difference with Ronaldo is that he's the complete footballer. He's strong, he's quick, he's good in the air, left foot, right foot, he's intelligent.
Penalties.
He's a complete footballer. Yeah, he's a complete footballer. What is there not? What is it about him that you hate? Okay, you've got the antics, the hand gesture, the gesticulating, all that kind of stuff, but every footballer does it.
What amazes me is the Real Madrid fans booing. How can you
still booing?
They're booing.
I didn't hear any booing the other day.
Not the other day, but a couple of weeks back. I think they played Atletico. They were booing him because he missed a chance. When you boo Ronaldo, really?
He must be day trippers, man.
No, I read an article about him saying he doesn't like it, and that's why he loves the Manchester fans, because he would never get that at Old Trafford, and the white flags come out and they start booing me. I don't like it.
Fair point. John said Higuain is just a slightly better Cavani.
You love Cavani. Nice to your heart.
I love Cavani. Anyway, gents, 3 Champions League triumphs in 4 years for Real Madrid. Well, what does it actually tell us about the competitiveness of the tournament? Matthew?
I think personally it just shows that it's cyclical. I mean, I don't want to sound like an old fart going back out, but we've always had these periods of domination. I mean, Madrid won the first 5 European Cups, didn't they, in the 50s, and then you had Ajax winning 3 in a row in the early 70s, and then immediately after that, Bayern Munich won 3 in a row. And it wasn't that long ago that we were all talking about how English teams were dominant in the Champions League. I think, you had the All-English final, United Chelsea. You had Chelsea winning it. United were in a couple against Barcelona. Liverpool were in a couple against Milan. And I just think it's one of those things that comes and goes. And maybe in 5-10 years, we'll be talking about somebody else being dominant. But for me, I don't think it's anything to worry about. Like Rod says, obviously at the minute, the best players in the world are at Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. And that's why the class is coming out and the cream's rising to the top. But I wouldn't read too much into it, to be honest.
Yeah. Next season, you'll probably see Real Madrid drawing the first four games and Zidane will get sacked. That's how it goes, isn't it?
What a job he's done.
Yeah. He's been fantastic. Yeah. Mark, do you have anything to worry about? Are Real Madrid going to dominate for the next 100 years or something like that?
No, you know what, Star? Like we say, there's always that pattern where a few teams come in and do it. I think hopefully next year we can see somebody else win it. But at the minute, they're worthy winners, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And Rod, what do you reckon next season? Is it going to be Real Madrid or is someone else going to get it?
I think with the strength with the Premier League, with all the teams, like there's 5 or 6 teams that could win it possibly next year. So hopefully they spur each other on and the quality improves a bit. And then obviously that goes into Europe, hopefully. And then we might see some of our teams in the last stages. But, you know, I can see it in a couple of years. But hopefully next year, you never know.
I think the other thing is it's a conversation we only have when English teams aren't dominating. It's not when English teams are doing well. Nobody questions the competitiveness of the competition. And as soon as you have a few years when English teams aren't doing that well, everyone starts pointing the finger and saying, oh, you know, what's going on? But like Rod says, that could change very quickly. You could, even someone like Mourinho, I don't think it's going to happen, but somebody, a seasoned winner like him, could possibly take an average United team to at least the semi-finals. It can be done. We saw Chelsea win it, and they were by far, well, not the best team in the competition in 2012, but it's managers know how to win competitions and tournaments. So I wouldn't write off the English teams just yet, certainly.
Yeah. Atletico Madrid have got the blueprint out. They've with a small budget and they're reaching semi-finals. So, you know, it can be done, but with the amount of money that's been spent in the Premier League, we should be at least competing.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the English teams in Europe next season, Man City, they're going to spend at least 300 million. And I'll tell you what, I hate to go on about this, but if Guardiola doesn't get them to at least the semi-final, he should get sacked. That's my honest opinion. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Champions League this year. England's best team weren't even in it. Chelsea.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the champions were Leicester City, and they got further than any other team in the Champions League. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Sure. There you go. Well, right. On to other news now. And the football world is in mourning following the death of former Newcastle United midfielder Cheick Tiote. Tiote collapsed during training for Chinese side Beijing Enterprises. Gents, Tiote will always be remembered for that goal against Arsenal in that 4-4 draw. But those who knew him well have nothing but positive things to say about him. It's a huge shock, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly is. I'm speaking for myself. I was shocked when I heard the news yesterday. And it's just another. There's been a lot of shocks in football recently in terms of people sadly passing away before their time. And I listened to a radio programme yesterday and everyone was speaking really highly of him. Steve McLaren, who managed him in Holland, was just saying what a fantastic guy he was and what a great player he was. And I think a lot of people don't realise what a great player he was. He was at Newcastle was he 7 years? And that's no mean feat. I mean, a lot of players go to Newcastle and you never see them again. So I think that's some achievement. And I'm surprised, actually, he went to China. I think he could have probably done a job maybe in England, maybe in the Premier League, but obviously he had his own reasons for going to China. But yeah, a huge shock. And say, from all I hear, a great player and a decent fella.
Absolutely. Rod, what do you make of this? Because we saw it happen with Mark Vivian Foe, Pavel Cernicek. I don't know, is it a medical condition? Is it the training?
I was just thinking about that with the money that's going in the It shouldn't be happening. Obviously, it needs to be looked at, and people need these fit professional footballers dropping dead. There's obviously an underlying issue, and it needs to be looked at if that needs more medical checks, or I'm not too sure, but something needs to be done to it, because even if it's one every 5 years, that's too much for someone, a professional footballer, to be on a training pitch.
It's happening quite a lot, though, isn't it? There was Mwamba as well, that he, you know, thankfully he was all right. There was Keita at Leipzig.
Yeah.
He collapsed.
Been happening in Hungary as well recently.
Romania. The guy died.
Yeah. Hugo Ekio.
And he was young as well. He was young. Yeah. So,
is it something over the years where there's, I don't know, too much pressure? Is it something that they put in their bodies that they can't handle, that we don't know? I mean, I don't know.
It's one of those things. You just can't put your finger on. I mean, as you said, are they being given medication that's not agreeing with them? The rigors of the training. You know, we talk about the winter break. I mean, that must make a big difference, having a couple of weeks off at least. I don't know. It's just one of those things. I mean, we're not doctors. I don't even think the doctors know what the hell's going on. But it's sad to hear this happening to anyone. Doesn't matter if the player's a nice guy or not, you know. So, it's a really, really sad situation. I just hope that, you know, his family can deal with it. It's difficult, but what can you do? It's horrible. It's horrible. Anyway, let's move on. And let's talk about some transfer news and Liverpool especially. I mean, Southampton will report Liverpool to the Premier League over an alleged illegal approach for Dutch defender Virgil van Dijk. It's like they're going to Liverpool going to take their lunch money tomorrow morning before school. Yeah, Matthew, if we're able to believe Southampton are actually serious about this, how do you think the FA will react, given Liverpool have already been punished for tapping up players, and albeit academy youngsters?
Yeah, well, you've got to forgive me. I don't actually know what the potential punishments there are for this this kind of behaviour. I assume it would be a couple of transfer window bans, or, I mean, is there a precedent for this happening in this country before? I'm not sure there is, but we obviously don't know the ins and outs of the case. But Southampton are obviously very unhappy about what Liverpool have done, and they've obviously had a lot of experience about the way Liverpool deal in the transfer market, because Liverpool have signed pretty much the last two teams, haven't they, over the last 3 or 4 years. So whether this is, they've obviously done something, or if it's maybe just a ploy to keep Liverpool at bay, maybe it's a desperate measure just to keep their player at all costs. But I'm not quite sure. But obviously they've got previous form. They have been punished before. So if there is something in this, we may possibly see the first English club to receive some kind of transfer window ban, which, if was true, would be a huge blow to what Liverpool want to do under Klopp.
Let me flip it then. Okay, how about this? Southampton fans are annoyed that Liverpool keep signing their best players. So what Southampton do, they agree a fee with Liverpool, you know, obviously confidentially, and then they just turn around and they bring out this statement that they're going to report Liverpool to the Premier League, because they just want to tell their fans that they're actually doing something about it now. Is that a possibility?
Well, if it is, it's a bit desperate, isn't it? I mean, they must know whether the guy wants to leave the club. They must know whether Liverpool have made a serious bid. It can't be something that's happened overnight. Whether Liverpool have been on his case and tapping him up, so to speak, possibly so. But obviously, we don't know that, so we can't go around making that accusation. But something's obviously happened to upset Southampton enough to make this complaint. It'd be interesting to see whether we ever find out and what happens. You don't tend to see big clubs punished really for this kind of thing, do you? I know obviously Madrid had a couple of bans, didn't they? But I get the feeling it'll probably blow over, and I think it'll still go to Liverpool, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, Johnny has said, I think tapping up is pretty much accepted as the done thing now. Every day you read reports that players have agreements with clubs before the clubs have actually agreed anything. How does that work? Good question, actually. Mark, is Van Dijk the real deal? No, to be fair, mate, I can't say I'm actually convinced he's the type of player, or even type of defender Liverpool need. What do you think?
No, I agree with you, Star. I don't think he is. For me, John Terry is the ideal defender to fit right in that place. You know, I think since they lost, way back when they lost Carragher, they haven't really replaced somebody with an old-fashioned strong centre-half. And I think with Terry being a free agent, why not go for somebody like that?
Yeah, but can he play 38 games, though? You think he's going to use him in a rotation system kind of thing?
I think he'll still do a rotation, but I think he can still be a leader on and off the field as well. And I think since they lost the Carragers and the Gerrards and people like that, they haven't really got a leader out there anymore.
Fair enough. I know Van Dijk is the Southampton captain at the moment. But again, for me, it's the weight of the shirt. It's all right going to Southampton and being a fantastic central defender, but you're going to Liverpool. This is one of the biggest clubs in Europe, not just the Premier League. Mm. Forget that they haven't won the league in how many years. They're still a massive club. You go to Sydney, they get 80,000 for a friendly. I mean, that's crazy. So I just think the weight of the shirt is going to be too much for him. I think he makes too many mistakes, which for some reason people don't tend to mention. The same with the company, really. But I hear that the rumour is that Liverpool have agreed personal terms with Mohamed Salah. I mean, apparently the club don't want to spend more than £28 million. But Salah and Mane out wide on the counter-attack, a bit daunting, isn't it?
Mm, especially on the counter-attack, you know, where Liverpool could sit deep and use them to as a you know, hit teams on the break. Salah didn't do it at Chelsea, which was quite disappointing for him, but he did it at Roma, did really well at Roma. Salah uses his left foot too much for me. I think he needs to change his game if he's going to come over here and not be sussed too much by defenders. He's very left foot, doesn't use his right foot as much. So, but he has improved as he's gone to Roma, and he is an ideal kind of clock player. So it'll be a good signing for Liverpool if he joins.
Fair enough. Barcelona midfielder Arda Turan has been removed from the Turkish national team squad after he assaulted a sports journalist on the plane which was taking the squad to Macedonia. Bilal Meşe of the Daily Milliyet wrote an article that contained information on Turan's alleged bonus demands to the Turkish FA. I'll put the link in the Shoot Defence group page for anyone that wants to read it. Matthew, as a respected journalist yourself, mate, how do you feel when you read stories like this? I mean, I'd have thought that someone like Messi, who has been a journalist for about 40 years, he would have been a bit more, I don't know, how shall we say, cautious with his choice of words?
Well, again, we're speculating, aren't we? I mean, I would assume as a journalist, he's obviously had his reasons for writing this article. Mm. You wouldn't just go and wake up one morning and think, oh, I'm going to write an article about a player doing anything, let alone taking payment. So is it a case that he's actually hit the nail on the head and there's something there underlying and Turan's wound up by it and snapped? I mean, apparently he wasn't the only guy to write about it. In the article I read, it said that several media outlets had been onto this illegal payment case. So you've got to assume a guy that's been writing for 20, 30 years, whatever it is, isn't going to just put that in a paper on a whim just to get a reaction, because if you do that, you could end up easily being on the receiving end of legal action. Whether he takes any action other than threatening him on the plane, we'll see. If he doesn't, then you could suggest that maybe there is something there.
Rod, have you ever heard of anything happening with players and journalists? I know, obviously, FC have got the local paper covering. There hasn't been any issues with players and journos, has there?
Not to this extent. Quite often you get a player putting up a journalist in the tunnel or in the pub or wherever they are in the car park after the game. But to react in that way, I mean, it might say something about his character. I don't know Turan, so he could be a hot-headed guy. But to react that way, he's obviously, nerves obviously been touched. And in public as well. I mean, it never looks good, does it, if you're on a flight full of other journalists and press people. It will be interesting to see if anything comes of it, because if it doesn't and he just accepts it, then you could suggest that maybe he had something to hide. But I just think you wouldn't go into writing a story like that if you didn't have anything to back it up with, because you'd be stupid to.
Arda Turan is not the most popular player in that Turkish national team.
No?
The fans boo him every time he wears a shirt. And
how do you know these things about fans booing? Is it like a fans forum that you go on, like weboo.players.com?
They don't like him.
No?
No, they don't like him. So I don't know if it's over the years where it's built up and they thought, oh, I'm going to get you now, and this has come out. But he is not the most popular player in that national team. The fans don't like him. They turn against him. I need to go.
I don't think it's too bright if you're a journalist and you're travelling with the team to write negative stuff about the players you're going to travel with. Because if it was me and he said something, I would pull him as well and I'd say something. It's happened at FC United this year, as it goes, because the radio commentator, he's a bit harsh on some of the players, and obviously some of the players don't like it, and he travels with the first team on the coach on the away game and he's been banned, so they've just banned him. So because he, you know, basically he's a journalist, well, he's not a journalist, he's a radio commentator. He doesn't know a thing about football, only watching it. So some of the things he's saying is harsh, but at the end of the day, he wouldn't know a ball if it hit him on the head. He just watches and commentates on it.
Was it Margie that banned him?
Yeah.
Say no more. Say no more.
Yeah, the new
I'll take the fifth on that one.
Not a problem. Mark, has anything like that ever happened? You know, when you're at Birmingham, did anything like that happen with players? And don't mention cars, because I like him. What's Mark gone? I think Mark's got fed up.
Is he there?
Is his missus about to give birth? Is that what he has to know? He's gone to start thinking. <Yeah. about swimming. laughs> Well, look, Marco Lima, he's a Barcelona fan. And he's come up saying two seasons at Barcelona. He's failed to make his mark. I've never even picked the red card. And he decides to get aggressive on a flipping plane. I rated him when he was signed, but turned out to be a colossal waste of time and money. Oh, well, Mark has said he's actually sent me a message on Facebook saying he's completely lost the signal and he won't be able to get back on. When he gets back on, we'll continue with Mark's questions. Anyway, gents, let's talk about transfer news then, shall we? Because a lot has happened in the past couple of weeks and there's a lot of rumours as well. Now, I'm going to ask you guys these questions I'm going to ask you about these players and who they've been linked with. I just need to know, can you see these happening and are they good moves for all parties? Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's start with Kieran Gibbs to Newcastle. That's a strong rumour, £15 million. Arsenal signed the new left back.
I could see that happening.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good move for him?
Yeah.
In Newcastle?
Yeah. I think so. He'll play every week. He's not really hit the heights at Arsenal. He's gone really downhill. He's lost his place to even Monreal. Now Collis is coming in. I don't see him playing. I could see that happening. It'll be a good move for both parties.
Rodrigo, can you see Benitez implementing Kieran Gibbs at left back?
Possibly. I'm not a great fan of Kieran Gibbs, to be honest. But possibly. It'd be a good sign for Newcastle, I suppose. If he plays week in, week out.
Mm. Matthew?
And that's what they need. Experienced players. He's experienced.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the stars are kind of aligned on this one, haven't they? Arsenal have got a new fullback in. Looks like Gibbs might want to leave. If so, Newcastle coming back into the Premier League. They're going to be looking for maybe an established Premier League defender to steady the ship. They're obviously going to try and make some signings, but it's always good to have someone in the squad that knows the league. So I could see that happening, most definitely, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, today one came out saying Hector Bellerin to Barcelona.
I can't see that.
No?
No.
Why not?
I think Barcelona will go for a better fullback. No offence to Bellerin, but I don't think it. I'll see him at Barcelona next season.
No?
No.
Rodri, is he Barcelona? Yeah, no?
I don't think he's quite there yet. Like, Jan's probably give him a year, a couple of years, and possibly, but not yet.
Matthew?
Yeah, I think that's his agent trying to get him a good deal there, I think, to be honest. I mean, say, decent player and all that, but is he ready to be a Barcelona player yet? I wouldn't say so just yet.
Fair enough. I think he's too busy doing modelling at the moment, isn't he? Another one came out today. Coutinho or Eriksen to Barcelona? I can see Coutinho possibly happening. Eriksen, I don't see why he'd want to leave Spurs yet. But then again, it's Barcelona.
I can't see both.
No?
No. I think Coutinho will stay at Liverpool. And I don't see Eriksen fitting Barcelona's kind of style of football, to be honest. I don't see him neither on this one.
Rod?
No, not for me. Coutinho probably stay at Liverpool, and Eriksen. Why would anyone want to leave Tottenham at the minute? It's probably an exciting place to be at the minute, Tottenham, going off last year. So no, I don't see any of them, to be honest. But you never know. Coutinho more likely than Eriksen.
That's a fair shout. Matthew?
Yeah, I think they might have the same agent as Hector Bellerin, to be honest. He's obviously desperately trying to get one of his clients to Barcelona. I agree. Yeah. I mean, Coutinho, you can kind of see, you might think ultimately he might leave Liverpool, but if he did, that would be a huge blow to Klopp and what Liverpool have got in mind there. I mean, from what I see, obviously living in Liverpool and knowing Liverpool people, is Klopp's got some kind of plan there, and you've got to assume Coutinho's part of that. If he leaves, as much as I'd like him to, as a United fan, but if he leaves, it's a big statement of intent. It says a lot about Liverpool. I can't see Klopp allowing that to happen, to be honest. Not yet anyway, so I'd probably say no on both those, to be honest.
Then again, they've got FSG as their owner, so if Barcelona come in with a ridiculous offer, I don't think they'd say no.
No, possibly not. Possibly not.
Fair enough. Joe Hart to Arsenal. That's one I heard earlier on this morning. Ospina's going.
Check's getting.
He's on his last legs.
It could happen. Yeah. Possible. But yeah, I could see that happening, actually.
Yeah, okay. Mark's return. Mark, can you see Joe Hart joining Arsenal? Okay, Mark isn't there then. I can see his name there. Rodri, Joe Hart's at Arsenal.
No. Not for me. Peter Cech still got a couple of years left. So, okay. And he's not a better keeper than Peter Cech for me. So, I don't see the reason. Everton would be a good move for Joe Hart, but seeing here, Jordan Pickford might be going there. So, I'd probably go with Jordan Pickford more than Hart.
Fair
Younger
shot.
Lad. Possibly better.
Matthew?
Yeah, I agree with Rob, to be honest. I think Cech's still a good keeper, and assuming he wants to stay and he's still got plenty to offer, I wouldn't rock the boat there. I feel a bit sorry for Joe Hart, to be honest. He seems to be linked. At Christmas, he was going to Liverpool. Now he's going to Arsenal. Then he was going to go back to City. Then I've read that Everton are interested in him. And then I even read the other day that United were going to sign him. I mean, I suppose from his point of view, it's good. It's nice to be popular, but it seems like he's being passed around a bit like a hot potato. But I don't see him going to Arsenal. I can see him obviously coming back to a club in this country, but I wouldn't change Cech, to be honest.
Sorry,
go on, mate. Go on.
Go ahead.
Where would he end? Where's he going to end up? We're just naming all that. It's Southampton, they've got Fraser. West Brom have got Ben Foster. Stoke have got.
We've got Begovic. What's it called? Bournemouth have got Begovic, haven't they?
Butland.
Oh. Yeah, but Bournemouth have got Begovic. Stoke got Butland, yeah.
Liverpool was the main link, wasn't it, at Christmas? But obviously that's not happening anytime soon.
So I'm just thinking, where in the Premier League is he going to end up? Obviously Everton would be the best bet for him. But looking at there, they want Jordan Pickford, and that would be probably the wiser choice because he's younger and, in my opinion, better.
Well, Jamie Cannon said Hart to Newcastle. I mean, he says another one who knows the league, a steady signing, which, yeah, I mean, they don't have a solid goalkeeper in Newcastle, do they? I think they've had three.
Is it Elliot, the goalkeeper at the moment, the youngster?
Well, they've got a Krul, but he's just come back from injury, isn't he?
No, he's at AZ, isn't it?
Is he?
Yeah, he was on loan. So he's going to come back, so I don't know if he's going to play there now.
That'd be a great move, Newcastle.
Well, if Chesney goes to Roma,
you're doing your Guillaume Balagan, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Chesney's going to go to Juventus. Joe Hart's going to go to Roma.
Joe Hart can go to Roma. There you go.
Fair enough. You know, I think Matthew's right. I think that's Joe Hart's nickname now, the hot potato.
I feel sorry for the guy. I mean, one minute he's England number one and he's winning the league at City, and then next minute everyone seems to be saying they're not interested in signing him, which must be obviously. There's a lot of agent talk going on there, but I still think he could be a good keeper. I think he could do a good job.
It's because Guardiola knows a lot about goalkeepers, doesn't he?
Evidently, yeah.
Yeah,
pass the parcel, Joe Hart. Yeah. Right, as you guys mentioned, Jordan Pickford to Everton. To be honest, I think Jordan Pickford is one of the best goalkeepers in the league.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
To Everton, yeah.
Yeah, I'd take him at United if De Gea left.
Yep, yeah. I agree.
I think it's a bit of a gamble, don't you? I mean, he's had a good season in a team that we're letting him go. We're getting battered most games, so he had a lot to do. I'm not saying I don't rate him, but I think he has.
I think if De Gea went, he'd obviously be number two because Romero has done so well that he's not at Sunderland anymore. He's at Manchester United, so he maybe have to go to the number two and then.
Yeah, I'd see that more than going straight into a number one role with United. Maybe Everton. It sounds a bit negative on Everton, but I just think sometimes keepers can have a great season, especially when they're being peppered, but I can't see a top four team saying, right, we're going to put all our eggs in that basket, but as a number two, certainly.
The thing is, in Pickford's defence, I think had it not been for him and Defoe, Sunderland would have got relegated in December. He was that good.
What about Pickford to Arsenal?
I don't see why not. I mean, listen, for me, I think he's a future England number one. For me.
No, I agree.
Listen, we've seen young goalkeepers excel. We've, you know, look at Buffon. He was fantastic at a young age. Casillas was fantastic. Even De Gea was fantastic how old is he? 24 when he joined United? It was a bit ropey, but Pickford has got everything you need in the goalkeeper. You know, he's got a commanding presence in the box. He catches the ball. You know, brilliant shot stopper. I don't see why not. But then again, it goes back to what I said about Van Dijk. The weight of the shirt, the pressure, the level of expectancy. Yeah. You know, if he joins a United or a City or an Arsenal, is he going to be able to cope with the pressure?
The expectation, yeah.
If he joins Everton, no disrespect to them, they're not on the level of an Arsenal. They're not going to be in the Champions League every season. They're not going to be, you know, so he can earn his stripes there and then move on. So I don't know.
Who's going to take that risk? Because you remember when De Gea joined United, how shaky he was for that first season. And he very nearly, I mean, I don't know whether it's true or not, but he very nearly got dropped and probably never seen again. I mean, but obviously United and Ferguson kept faith with him and gladly so. But I just think with clubs these days, it's a bit like managers. There's so much craving for instant success. Whereas years ago, you'd probably buy a young keeper, bring him through and show him the ropes, and then he'd progress to be a great keeper. Now, I think everyone's terrified of buying a keeper that makes a few mistakes. I mean, look at Karius at Liverpool. He was brought in as a great new young keeper who made a couple of mistakes and he's never been seen since.
Oh, bravo.
It's obviously a different mentality as well. With Sunderland, he's getting peppered every week. And then with Man United, you'll obviously have one chance to make and one save to make. And
yeah, if that one mistake,
falling at the back
of your legs. Yeah, one mistake and that could be the end of your career. That's the problem with going to such a big club at such a young age, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, one deal that's already been done, Defoe, he's re-signed for Bournemouth, so I think that's their place in the Premier League guarantee for the season after next. You know, if he got 16 goals for Sunderland, then they're going to obviously create more chances at Bournemouth, so I think he's a fantastic signing for Bournemouth. What do you guys reckon?
I think that guy could probably do a job in any Premier League team, to be honest, whether as a starter or coming off the bench, but some guys can just score goals whoever they play for, and if you put him up front for United, he'd probably get you 20 goals. So I think Bournemouth have got a good deal there.
Yeah, when you see certain footballers, and the main Defoe was born to score goals, that's for sure. Great signing.
Right. I think Lukaku came out to say he's decided which team he's going to join. I think it's either United or Chelsea, but my money's on Chelsea. What's yours?
United.
Yeah?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, and I think Rooney's going the other way.
Okay. Rod?
What's that? Say again.
Lukaku, he said he's decided on his future. Where do you think he's going? United, Chelsea, anywhere else?
I'm not too sure. Go United. Still needs to work on his touch, though.
Yeah. I was saying earlier, his first touch reminds you of a Phil Jones corner. Matthew, do you know anything about Lukaku's move? Are you ITK?
I thought he was going to Chelsea. I thought his main preference was to Chelsea. And to be honest, I wouldn't be too disappointed if he did go to Chelsea. Really, I'm not. I know he's obviously a top striker because he's the second highest scorer in the league, but for me, for 100 million quid or whatever they think he's worth, I wouldn't be that desperate to see United sign him. I've watched him a few times for Everton this season, and he has a couple of games where he looks great. And he scores a hat-trick or a couple of goals, but not for me. I might eat my words if he could go to Chelsea and score 30-odd goals next season. But
I totally agree with what Matthew just said.
I'd rather keep Harry Kane, to be honest, but I don't think he's on the market. But I'd take Kane over Lukaku any day.
Mm. Absolutely.
I think Lukaku's got a presence though, about him. I think he can learn, he can improve. I mean, if he's scoring this amount of goals at a club like Everton and he's not the full package just as yet, if he goes to United and he improves, he could, he can be lethal. Mm. I agree with the guys actually. I'm not his biggest fan, but you can't look somebody that puts the ball in the back of the net consistently for a club like Everton as well. Yeah. Not disrespect to Everton.
The thing is, we had this with Liverpool and Benteke. When they signed Benteke for £30 million, I said, it's a good sign because how many strikers can you buy or how many strikers could you buy at the time that were proven goal scorers in the Premier League? Yeah. At the time, it was really Kane, Aguero, who else was there at the time? I can't remember when he was at Aston Villa. It was a few years ago. Yeah. So when Liverpool signed him, it made sense. Obviously, it didn't turn out to be the best. So the same could be said about Lukaku. I mean, 20-odd goals this season. Where are you going to get? Griezmann's going to stay at Atletico Madrid, or so he said.
That's a huge gamble, though, isn't it? Because if you're spending £25-30 million on a Vardy or somebody like that, fair enough. But if you're talking £100 million or whatever it is, £80-100 million, are you really going to spend that money on an assumption that he might just come good? It's a hell of a risk. I know clubs have got silly money now, but I don't think there'll be too many saying, "Oh yeah, we'll spend £100 million on the off chance that he might."
I'd be surprised if it's that much, Matthew, for Lukaku, to be honest. I don't see United paying £80 to £100 million for Lukaku.
No.
And you know, it's not Everton playing with 35,000, playing at Manchester United, so you don't know what that's going to do to me. But he goes two or three games without scoring, crowd may get on his back, pressure. It's a totally different atmosphere at Manchester United, a totally different place to Everton. So you never know what that does to people, but I'm not his greatest fan, but you know, he scores goals, so
that's different. I think he might go to Chelsea. I did hear that's where he even said that's where he wanted to go. So if they want him and he wants to go there, then that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Well, Jamie Cannon said Lukaku to United. I think sponsorship ties up nicely. Just switched back to Adidas boots, 360 deal apparently. So that's a big commercial deal for him.
I think it's Mourinho sold him, didn't he, from Chelsea?
Yeah. Yeah, he was Chelsea. So he obviously didn't see something in him, did he?
Well, he was second fiddle to Drogba, and he wouldn't. Lukaku wanted to play, and Mourinho was like, "You're not going to get ahead of Drogba," so he left. Now, if he's going to go to Chelsea and Costa's there, and Chelsea play one up front, who's going to play? For me, it's going to be Costa ahead of Lukaku. For me, I think it is United.
Do you really think Costa will be at Chelsea next year?
I think so.
Well,
I don't think so.
Atletico can't sign him. And apparently, if we're going to believe what Costa said that the only team he would like to leave Chelsea for would be Atletico Madrid. Which,
no.
Yeah, if you put £700,000 deal in China,
look
he's
at Tevez.
Gone.
Look at Tevez. Yeah. He went back to Boca Juniors because that was the team that he wanted in his career. Yeah. And now he's on 700 bags.
Yeah. So, but that's what I mean, if you're going to believe what he said. But yeah, if Costa does go, then yeah, I do see Lukaku going back to Chelsea. But
yeah, I agree with Rob there. If Lukaku goes to Chelsea, there's no way Costa's going to be the number one striker. They've just spent that £80 million on a striker. They're not going to. There's no contest there. Who's going to be the number one striker? It's got to be Lukaku, hasn't it?
You think? Yeah.
But
then again, if you've got them both and the competition between them both and they're both. You know, they could be lethal next year if they have them both.
If they're both happy to compete with each other, it could be a great, great battle, couldn't it? Great competition.
I can't see Lukaku going back to Chelsea, sitting on the bench after he did it the first time. I can't.
But if he goes back to Chelsea, he's going to go back to Chelsea to play. And we know about the issues that Costa's had with Conte.
Yeah.
In January, we're talking about him leaving.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Conte said to him, look, just pull your socks up, roll your sleeves up, stick it out to the end of the season, win us a league title, and you can go. And I think that's what it is.
That's what I mean. If Costa does go, then I can see Lukaku happening. But I can't see Lukaku happening while Costa's there.
Okay.
Just my opinion.
Fair enough.
His managers might be tricky. Might be thinking, I want this Costa out. I'll bring Lukaku in and force him out the door.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't surprise me. Because, as I said, Costa and Conte, they've clashed more than once this season. Yeah. So, again, it would not surprise me if they sat him down and said, right, no, you got to end of the season, then you can go to China or wherever you want to go, and that's it. And he's going to go. He's going to go to China. Look, there's a lot of South American footballers in China at the moment. You know, Paulinho, you've got Oscar, you've got Ramirez, you've got Hulk. So, there's Levetsi.
Tevez.
So, it's not going to be anything new for Costa. I mean, the only problem is with China, I think there's a rule that says it's like an FFP rule, so if they pay more than what they're earning or what they're bringing in, they pay double the tax.
Yeah.
So that could be one thing, but...
And they've got a three foreign rule.
Yeah, exactly, right. Well, look, that's it, gents, but before we go, just like to say a quick thanks to our partners. We've got more than Julian Iglesias, really. FNX Network, follow them at FNX Network on Twitter. My Sportswear at My Sportswear One. Harry and the lads at Sofa Sports News, another great show. They're available on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube. Nick Tanner Events, The Offside Trust, Lucky Seven Management, Inspire Me Creations. Now, in case you're wondering what these bottles are, it's not Tio and Reese bottle. They're a gift from M&S Sports in Dubai. Cheers, guys. A good friend of the show, Samir Sawney. He's coaching out there. I paid him a visit to have a look at the setup. And I must say, the indoor facilities, they just put us to shame. They've got 4G.
Mine in the post.
Yeah, because I'll send it to you, mate. It's not a problem. I've got plenty. Don't worry. Don't worry. I didn't forget you, mate. Don't worry. M&S Sports coach, and they develop kids from ages 6 right the way through to under 14. So if you're interested in finding out more, visit mnssports.com. And finally, as you may or may not know, we have teamed up with the Football Weekly show, which is launching live on Sky Channel 23 on the 4th of September, and we'll be making an appearance at some point. We're very excited about this partnership. So obviously you guys are on the show, you guys that are watching, everyone's going to get involved and we're going to smash it.
Absolutely.
I did it with gritted teeth as well. Well, guys, before I let you guys go, we'd like to give our listeners your Twitter handles. Rod?
Rod James Giggs.
Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew J. Christ.
Yannickus J.
Follow us at Shoot the Defence. Get involved in the Facebook group page and what else? Just like us.
Because we're likable.
You are. Yeah, I'm not. Right. Anyway.
I was going to say that.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back at some point next week, I hope. Take care.